Okay, I want to tell you people a problem with having long gaps when recording episodes, okay?
Right.
The issue is that I make notes of things to talk about, and sometimes if it takes too long between episodes, I forget what the notes mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we said we'd record, so I came and had a look at my notes, and a few of them make sense to me. I'll rip through a couple here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you a quick Pywoft update. So you'll remember me talking about the Pywoft outside the bakery near the train station and how you hit a certain point in the road and you just whacks you in the face.
Mm.
Explain this to me. The Pywoft V has increased.
Oh.
So the
range.
The range coming out of the shop has widened.
So summer
I don't know how to... Sorry?
Summer Pywoft.
Having a blast.
Get writing on that song. That's all I
was... I don't know. Like, it seems too consistent just to be wind... written off by wind-related theories, you know.
Yeah, but it's summer. We go to suggest, I'm guessing, summertime means more open windows, more ventilation.
Oh, in the bakery itself?
Mm. Yeah, maybe they've opened up side avenues.
Right.
They would normally close.
Side alley, though.
Whereas it's just like a wind tunnel, usually a waft.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's omnidirectional. Yeah. Omnidirectional power waft.
Okay. So there's that. I had a note here to talk about the fact that my poo schedule was lining up with the toilets being cleaned at work and how annoying that was.
In a bad way, not in a good way.
No,
I thought that was going to be a good thing. Yeah.
So Jonathan's not trolleying the thing out while you wander in.
I'm not going straight in after.
Yeah, okay.
I'm turning the corner and there's the sign up saying toilets being cleaned. And even if I went a bit earlier, they'd come earlier that day. Yeah. You know, that's
okay. My question to you, Jonathan, is:
go on.
Are they waiting for you?
What did you do? What did you do to the cleaner?
Oh, right.
I'm not going in. I'm not going in before that guy goes.
Well, I think
he's going in. I'm going to time it. So
time it. Make it as uncomfortable and quick as possible.
I think you can probably imagine what I did to the cleaner. He was not happy with what he found. But
I waft.
Okay, so this
omnidirectional.
The V had widened. Let's put it that way. So there's two notes. Also, last time we were meant to record was the day that I found out that a butcher in Dubbo was selling crumbed Devon schnitzels. We didn't get to talk about that.
Did you order some? Do they do online shipping for crumbed Devon schnitzels?
Would you sit there and wait for some Devon from Dubbo to come through the mail to you?
I definitely wouldn't myself, but I'd love to send it to three other gentlemen.
On a hot summer day.
I want a CDS from Dubbo.
But here's the point of what I'm saying. Then my next note down, I've got testicle tea cozy written there. I do not for the life of me remember why I've got that written there. Testicle tea
There's
cozy.
There's every chance that you just love the alliteration and it's popped into your brain so you wrote it down.
But even if I did just like the alliteration, how long a discussion topic could that have been if I just brought it up for the sound of it?
I reckon we can get 25 minutes out of it.
Yes.
This is Dad Pants. Yes, hello. Merry 2025, etc. to you. There's a lot back in because we haven't been around for a while. But dads, good to see you all again. Let's hear from you.
Hello there.
G'day.
It's a full gamut of dads. So just bringing everyone up to speed on a few updates over the last few months. Really quickly, let's get through them so we can get to some other dad stuff. But some dad updates. Matt, I understand you ordered some screen doors.
Oh, now we're talking. I don't want to talk about anything else. I got new screen doors put in, and they are smick. They are soft closing. They are cat proof, so the cat can't even scratch at them and pull them apart like he has done with every other screen door that we've had.
Mm.
But they're tremendous. So, and they let the light in, and then when you're outside, it's like almost like tinting.
So it's like a two-way mirror, but it's your screen
not
door.
Not quite.
Like that. Same theory. You can't see in, but you can
see
out.
Same theory, I guess. Yeah. Yes. That's a one-way mirror.
Here's my dad issue, right? I don't know. I rarely know when something needs to be done.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when a dad event needs to happen, where dad stepping in happens and go, right, there's bloody enough of this, let's get it done.
Yeah.
What was the moment where you went, we need some more bloody screen doors here?
The cat forces our hand because the cat is allergic to bees, like deathly allergic to bees, so he can't go outside. But he loves going outside to meet his friend the bees and try and eat them. And so with the previous back screen door, it was old as crap. Someone had obviously installed it wrong and then tried to fix it themselves. Mm. I wish I should have taken photos of where they've clearly cut out a bit of the interior of the door to move it down a little bit, but it just didn't align. So it didn't actually shut properly. So the cat, with a bit of effort, could have opened the back door. But also we've got a glass sliding door, which you can lock.
Right.
But in summer, I don't want that. I don't want my glass sliding door locked, not letting any of the fresh air in.
It's mental.
Yeah. So I said around, I don't know, October, I said, right, before summer hits, I want this door fixed so the cat doesn't die, basically. Yep. And I want good ones. So we looked up actual good ones, not just crappy ones.
Not just cheap.
They're going to do the same thing again.
Yeah, was that the Google search? Good ones.
Good
so,
door.
It could have been any.
Good door.
Good back
now.
Door.
Good please.
Back show door. Me good back door. Safe yeah. search off.
Yes.
Yes.
Smooth, cat safe.
Smooth.
Good for easy pussy closing. Back door.
Pussy, yes. yeah, pussy yes. friendly.
Yeah.
Back door.
Do open.
Yes. So that's a double whammy because not only have you kind of had a dad moment where you go, right, we need to do something here, but you've also fixed up someone else's shoddy work.
Yes.
So that's double points, really.
Yeah. So I didn't do any of that. They came in and I said, can you fix this? And I'm like, yeah,
oh, yeah,
that's
no.
Bad.
No, that's, so, I'm not expecting you to put a door in, mate. It's the dad decision. That's what we're lauding.
The dad decision was good. And I was very happy. I wish I had the company. I would give them a shout out, but I don't. Can't remember where they were. Goodbackdoors.com.
Good backdoors.
Very, very fine backdoor jobs.
Yes. Aardvark.
Yeah.
Backdoors.
On a similar kind of note, I've been struggling with my sprinkler system. And
here we go.
And this is the thing, like, you know, and it sounds very bougie, but in Mildura, literally everyone's got a sprinkler system because it's cheaper and it's so dry all the time, everything has to be boarded up. So some of my risers were leaking. The risers, the little bit that pops up out of the ground, some of them were leaking. And so I had a look at it and I was like, right, so I need to go back and change the valve. Went in and went to change the valve and took it into the sprinkler place. And they're like, oh, we don't make that one anymore, so you're going to have to replace the entire gasket. So I went in to do that. And in order to do that, I had to dig out the entire section. It was like the green box in your backyard where all the valves live and everything like that. Had to dig all of that out and then realized the person who put it in beforehand has just literally had obviously just jammed in all new parts into it as well. So I'm in this real dilemma, exactly what you're talking about, Buckland. The idea of when do you call out the big guns? Like, you know, I'm quite content to do, as I say, it's very low-key plumbing, but at the same time, it's getting to that stage of, this is becoming a huge effort now. Like, at what point do I just hand it over? And I went into the local sprinkler place. I said, look, can you send someone out just to, basically, I just need someone to give me a hand. I'm happy to pay it, obviously. Like, you know, I'm not asking for charity. And he was like, oh, we don't really do that, but I can send someone out to have a look at it and then give you a quote to upgrade your system. And I'm like, well,
and you said, I just want someone there to tell me I'm doing the right thing.
That's exactly right. I just want someone to hold my hand. I need a dad. Yeah. I need an irrigation dad.
to come and
irrigation
dad,
plumbing dad,
or we need like a granddad.
Surely there should be irrigation dad franchises all along the Murray Darling system.
Oh, you think so? Because if you're not grown up, this is the thing. I haven't grown up with your
Jim can get knotted. It should always be dad. Dad's mowing, dad's lawn.
It's the marketing's fucked. There's hire a hubby, right?
Yeah.
What about dial a dad?
Oh, dial a dad.
But not your own dad.
But not your own dad.
But not your own dad. You don't want your own dad.
Someone who's
that's your brackets underneath.
Someone who's patient, who's going to actually help you out and not just bore you out and tell you what a stupid stupid job you're doing.
Immediately. You just go inside and I'll do it. And then that's right. I'm not learning anything here.
Just hand me that. What? It's over there. Bloody hell.
You missed a bit.
What do you mean? It makes no sense.
Dial a dad's what I need.
So
it's a dial a yes dad, isn't it? It's
Well,
you've done the right thing. It's a great idea.
Well, someone is being paid, so they're they can't be rude to you because you're paying them.
Dial a dad, no passive aggressiveness, no infantilizing.
No so in that case, they can't be real dads. They've got to be pretending they're dads.
Well, they're not your dad. Egg. That's why you get an A dad.
It's a sitcom dad.
That's
all right.
Now, son.
I would say.
What, do they bring their own sound effects?
I would say that's premium package, getting no passag comments. Like, you can have the lower tier package.
Oh, right.
Where they'll just, you know, make sarky comments about every little thing you try. But if you pay top dollar.
Highly skilled in the area that you've paid them to come out in, but very passag.
Oh, you get none of that. Oh. Guaranteed in the first 30 seconds to say, did you do this?
Oh. Oh, that's what you're trying to do. Oh.
I don't want anyone to come out and even look at my garden at the moment because I'm just embarrassed by it because I was actually looking at my edges and I'm like, oh, man, I don't want a sprinkler guy coming out and looking at this.
Yeah, then he'll
I've got to get it up to scratch. Before. It's like cleaning the house before a housekeeper comes around.
I'll make a dad fashion that might make you feel better, Rich. When we bought this place and moved into it, there was like an irrigation system all around. I went, oh, beauty. And then I never used it. I'm just told people, oh, it's stupid, it doesn't work. Really? I didn't know how the fuck it worked or where you had to plug anything in. It was all hidden. It was so well that I had no idea. But I've never used it because I couldn't fucking work it out.
See, this is the thing. I don't think I could live without one now. Like, I've just become so accustomed to it, and it's really good for most things, but it's just at that stage now. I just need someone to, like, I need someone just to help me out with those few little fiddly bits and pieces. A couple of hours, it'll be done, it'll be up, it'll be purring. I'll almost guarantee it, but I know that someone's going to come around and say, nah, you need to rip it all out, it's too old. It's probably, you know, 20, 25 years old or something ridiculous.
That was going to be my question. If you replace stuff, Ellis, do you just need to replace the pop-ups and the connecting valves, or do you need to replace the entire hose system that's in place?
No, well, this is the thing. Like, at the moment, I've just been piecemealing. This is exactly right. Like, I've just been replacing the risers, and, you know, if there's a leak in anything, then, as I say, replacing the valve was probably the biggest one that I've had to do. But even, like, the risers, like, you replace it and you think it's going to be all right, but they're spraying all over the place. Like, they're just, it's on concrete, it's on grass. And I'm like, nah, man, I just want them all kind of, they were all nicely set up when I first arrived. And then Tony's knocked a couple out with a car. Tony. So you just got to be tweaking a few little settings within them to try and get it going. And I could probably do it myself, but it's just that thing of I need a dad. I just need a dad to give me a hand. Irrigation
dad. We need a dial a dad. We need a dial a dad to look at our irrigation. And he's got to be nice and he's got to be calm and he can't tell us we're fucking dumb. All right, so everyone, you've been waiting a few months to hear this stuff. Matt's bought some screen doors. Rich has got irrigation issues. Ben?
I've got a new shed.
You have a new shed.
Yeah.
And you built it. That's the main thing.
How'd you go with the painting?
It's fucking unreal. The painting was... I fucking hate painting so much.
Really? Yeah.
It's...
See, I reckon that I wouldn't mind doing that painting. It's fresh. It's,
yeah, I like
it. It's like it's secluded. Like, you can just kind of slap it on there, surely.
Yeah, there was a... Well, okay, so that's the thing, right? I did just slap it on, but then my wife decided to come out and go, you need to fix that.
Do it
that.
Again, Ben.
You need to fix that.
Do it again, Ben.
Oh, wow, the welcome return of Do It Again, Ben.
I am yet to fix that. And I shan't be. But that was, yeah.
That's all right.
My brand new shed. And
it's been a while.
And I was just thinking, I'm just going to slap some paint on. I did two coats on the inside just to make it nice. And I'll do two coats on the outside. Yep, excellent. No worries. That'll do. That's fine. That's a shed. Like, it's fine. Yeah. And Lynn's came out. She went, missed a bit. And I'll probably need you to redo that. And yep, this and that. I was like, nah, not doing it.
Why isn't she out there with a drop sheet?
I was going to say, you must have been nearly a second away from just handing her the brush. That's the answer.
Well, I should have just painted her face.
Dad! Yeah, you won't get hired.
You're not a dialer dad. You're not a dialer.
No, I'm definitely not.
I was
going to
say, Lynn's is the anti-dialer dad.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
So the shed's unreal.
See, the dialer dad would say, oh, I like your kind of creative choice there to just not paint that little bit and just have that as a feature.
You got to pay more. We go into some and go, yep, good. All right,
yep,
see you later.
I painted everything.
And then you go inside and he paints the bit that you missed and you don't even know. That's when you pay.
Until next time you walk past the shed and you notice it's done just a little better and you just go,
I did a pretty good job of that, didn't I?
Told her it'd be fine.
Money well spent.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
So there were two things that we'd been sort of budgeting and working towards. And one was the shed. So we knocked down the old one, put up a new one, slab, frame, bloody bike hooks, new racking inside it from Bunnings. Freaking unreal. I love it. It's great. It's absolutely tremendous.
Awesome.
And the second thing was ducted air conditioning.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Nice.
And the ducted air conditioning got installed 4 days ago. And I just want to tell you a little story about what's happened with the ducted air conditioning. But
I can say already, we go, everything's fine and everyone's cool. Is that for the story? It's all working beautifully and there's no issues?
Well, the air conditioning is working magnificently.
Oh, okay.
So everyone is fine and everyone is cool.
Yep.
Lynn's told you there's a spot where it doesn't cool down and you're
out correctly.
Change the vents. Do it again, Ben.
Well, there's an enormous hole in the floor where the return vent is. And it's like, well, we had to go under house, right? There wasn't enough room in the roof to do it. So we went under. Now, that's not a drama. Apart from the sarlacc in the floor. In the dining area.
What?
I'll send you guys a photo at some stage.
Is it really loud?
Well, no, it's not too bad.
Okay.
So there's like some sort of divot in your floor.
Well, it's a grate. It's basically a return grate. So what happens is all the air gets pushed into the house from the extremities, and then there is a return grate. Anyway, there's a grate. The grate isn't the part of the story that I wanted to tell you. The air conditioning is installed. It's working really nicely. But, of course, in true dad fashion, and you guys will remember that we had a battery installed last year, so I have an application on my phone that tells me how much power we're using at any one time.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Oh,
no, here we go.
So
we've got ducted air. You're not allowed to use it.
The thermostat. Don't touch the thermostat. Don't touch it.
Both of those things have happened in the first 4 days.
What?
All right, so now...
It doesn't make it colder. When are you going to realise that colder air doesn't blow just because you put the temperature down?
Exactly. Now, the kids have been pretty good. But because I know how much power we're using at any one time, the power that we use fluctuates, right? So the cost of power, it's not set throughout a particular period of the day. The power cost changes.
Yes.
You are winning tonight's episode of Dadness, but yes?
I've got a contentious kind of theory, but I might just save it for the end of your story.
So is everyone allowed to put the ducted air between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m.?
Well, no. So the solar runs the ducted, no dramas, right? So it's when it's sunny as fucking hot, then the ducted air, the air conditioning can be run, no worries at all. What the issue is later in the afternoon when there is a huge spike in energy consumption, the cost of power, because I'm paying wholesale prices through the people we get it through, goes through the roof. The solar power obviously goes, the sun goes behind a hill. We have no solar power. So we're paying exorbitantly large prices for a small period of time in the afternoon. So I rang Louis at 4 o'clock.
Oh my God.
And said,
you are monitoring.
Turn it off. And he went, okay. You turned it off. And then at 4:30, the price went back down. And I just messaged him. I said, you can turn it back on. And he was like, no worries. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Do I get a badge?
Didn't you say you've got a battery?
No. Yeah, I've got a battery. So
I just imagine you at work, we go, just not doing any work. Just screens all around you.
Well,
yeah.
Vectors and
trying I was eating lunch at the time and
turn the key. Hang on. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
But as soon as I was doing it, like as soon as I started doing it, I said, I'm still going to do it, but I just need to tell everyone. Right. I need to tell you three that I've done this. Because I need to not do it, but it was still fun to
do
it.
How do you stop, though?
How do you stop? I don't know. Maybe talking about it might help me realize a little bit of self-awareness about how much of a dickhead
that makes me look like.
But
this is a problem, Leo. It's just to butt in very quickly. Is not a problem. It appears my daughter, eldest, is linked in with you rather than me. Because anytime she wants to put the air conditioner on, she will text me to see if it's okay. I don't care. Every single time I've said yes, but she's got to make sure, just in case. I've never once talked to her about energy prices or using this. So maybe she's connected more to your parent than your kids are with mine. Like, let's just turn on everything.
I made my family a special dessert the other week because we had the lowest quarter of energy consumption than we've had in the last 3 years. Here's your prize, my family.
That's lovely.
Here's the point. Yet again.
Last quarter's the best. So good.
Yeah.
Here's the point in the episode yet again where I look at my rundown and go,
yeah,
chuck it all out. We're on a path.
You sent the list today, Buckland, and said, that should be enough. And I was like, oh, boy, we haven't done this for ages. That's like 10 years worth of material.
I live in hope that one day we'll rip through some bits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Without well, no, I don't actually hope that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Because it has happened. Now, you're right. It has happened.
You go, Stu.
I need to ask what you think about my theory.
Yep.
You can dad too much.
Mm.
You can over dad.
Okay.
There's too much dadding going on at your house. You got fucking a new shed, you got ducted air conditioning, you got a fucking battery for fuck's sake. You're looking at your internet speed, you're looking at your power consumption. Like, there's too much going on. What is this need that this is all trying to fill for you?
What a great question.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to get back to you at a later date while I think about that. But can I just add one thing in?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ellis, your eyes lit up here, and I feel like your commentary around the cost of electricity over the quarter coming down, this may speak to you. Now, along with high wholesale prices during peak energy usage periods, not only do I pay high prices, but I can actually sell the power in my battery back to the grid.
Back
to the grid.
At, I think the other day I got $15 a kilowatt.
15? It was eight last time I checked what my wife was paying attention to.
Right.
With our salt.
So, for one, we turn off the air conditioning, the battery charges, but at the same time it actually sends 1 kilowatt of energy back to the grid, and I've paid for 3 days' worth of energy. three or four days worth of energy.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Half an hour of peak dadness, and we've paid for 3 days worth of energy. Now, can I have some... What are your thoughts now, Stu?
My thoughts are that if you go to the trouble of getting air conditioning and it's hot, but you're not allowed to run it at certain times, it seems like a bit of a bizarro universe.
My concern is what are you going to be like in 30 years?
Oh, fuck yeah.
It'll have the chip in my brain.
There's got to be room to grow, man. Like,
without even... Like, it'll just be automated.
You've got to tap the brakes because that's... You know, you're talking like a 70-year-old. That's what you're talking like.
I will not fucking apologise.
No. Believe me. All of the discussion you've had, I thought, I should do that. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
In no way. But that makes sense, and that is wise and sensible. No. But I sit here and say, that sounds hard work.
Are you over-dadding to make myself feel better about clear under-dadding?
I'm agreeing with you, with Stu, that this it's over-dadding. Yes, it makes sense, but it's...
Wiggins. Team Wiggins is all the way. I think that...
Well, it's the 500. We're in our 500 teams again.
Yeah.
Again, aligned like we always have been.
Let me ask you this, Ben.
Yes.
In all of this, in all your monitoring, in all your apps,
yep.
Where's the joy?
The joy is when he sells it back for 3 days worth of energy. Yeah.
I get a bit of joy out of that.
Yeah.
All of this
if you're always on edge for like who's playing with the air conditioning at the wrong time.
Well, I think that that's fair. Absolutely fair. But again, it's not like I'm sitting there looking at it going, oh my God. It's like I'll get an alert saying there's going to be a price spike in the next half an hour. You should probably be aware. And then I'll have a look at it.
I think we're talking around when the solution has already been given to you, Wigo. Mm-hmm. You and Ellis just combine forces. All you have to do, Wigo, is say, if we can get the energy prices down to blah, 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 then... Ellis is making dessert for everyone.
Yeah, there's so many questions.
Devon, there's deep fried Devon. Coming our way.
How about this? I'm going to throw a few questions out there. It's choose your own adventure. Yep. Pick which one you feel like answering. What was a special dessert? That's what we need to know that.
Yeah.
What the fuck does wholesale power prices mean? What's that mean?
I think we can also answer all of these questions.
Why would you go ducted over reverse cycle? So have at one of those, you guys.
All right, Ellis, you can answer first because
the dessert that we
Ellis goes last. We save dessert to the end.
Okay,
thank you very much.
All right,
who's eating dessert?
You've got to have your wholesale energy before you have your dessert. Everyone knows you work from the outside in.
Okay, what does that mean? What does wholesale
bad etiquette
mean?
Okay, so depending on where you buy your energy from, right? So
shit. Are we in an ad?
Yeah. We could be. If you go through Energy Australia or AGL or any of those standard energy suppliers, then they have certain rates that are basically capped at certain moments, right? So you're only going to get 5 cents back for every kilowatt of solar you go in, but the maximum amount you're going to pay is like, I don't know, 56 cents a kilowatt in the middle of the
so you're referring more to rate rather than concept.
Yes, but basically so mine, like, I could be paying 5 cents a kilowatt through the middle of the day when there's heaps of solar power in the grid, but then later in the afternoon it may go up to, you know, $1.50 a kilowatt. But that's when the battery kicks in and powers the house.
Okay.
So
we may be getting too deep in the reads there. I thought you had some special kind of backdoor deal with someone where you didn't have to pay retail markup on your energy prices.
Well, it kind of is.
It kind of is a backdoor.
What is when you're paying selling the pack?
Well, yeah, and we don't
need it. It's available to everyone, but it's not yet.
We don't need adverts for this. Wigo's paying for this podcast with the energy selling back to the grid.
That's exactly right.
So, Wigo, do you have any, you know, corporate messages you want to get out there?
By doing this podcast, he's paying for three future podcasts.
Correct. Now, the question about reverse cycle. We had a reverse cycle.
It's a feed-in podcast.
But
he's feeding it into the grid.
He's going to send it back to
into
the grid,
podcast grid. The we would have needed one for basically every room because we weren't going to have one in the hallway.
No.
We weren't going to have one in our bedroom because it wouldn't have fed into the kids' rooms.
Right.
And to have three or four or five air conditioners running at one time would have cost us, you know, two or three times more than what the ducted costs us to run.
Are you overcapitalizing your house?
Probably.
Hmm.
Wow. That is a question I never expected to hear from any of you.
No.
I don't know where I am.
No.
Is there a labour crisis at the moment?
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, I always feel whenever you tell us something you've done to your house,
mm-hmm. and there's been, like, a lot of things.
Like, I feel like you're going to Matt's parents' style, live in the same house for 50 years potentially.
Mm.
Is that what you're thinking? Is this the forever house? You're just going to make it as nice as possible, set yourself up for the next 20, 30 years. This is it. Like,
I would say, like, at least until, I'd say we'll be here at least until Rose finishes school. And
I think that's always been our problem is we've always had this idea that we're only going to be here for a couple of years. And the couple of years turns into a couple more years and a couple more years and a couple. It's kind of, it's now we've kind of got a final date.
Mm.
But it's that thing of if I knew we were going to be here as long as we are now, I would have done more at the beginning. And now it's like, we should have got this done. We should have got that done because then we could actually enjoy it a bit more. But I can see where you, I can see exactly where Wiggins is coming from in getting yourself comfortable and.
I'm not criticizing in the slightest. I'm interested and I'm sort of weighing up what he does to what I do because I feel like I don't really think about any of this stuff enough.
Mm.
You know.
Well, so it's I would never have thought about ducted air conditioning until we've got evaporative and a reverse cycle as well. And the evaporative, because, you know, out in the desert, evaporative cooling is just fucking amazing. It is so good. Like, it's so much fresher and cleaner than, like, reverse cycle. That damp feeling in the air and everything you get from reverse cycle, it's kind of, it's a bit gross and stuff.
Mm.
Evaporative, just everything is just nice and, like, it's not freezing cold when you walk in. It sits at a kind of ambient kind of 24, 25, but when it's 40 outside, that feels amazing. Mm.
Are you putting a bit of... Oh, sorry. The dessert, please.
Mm.
dessert. It was like a stone fruit eclair. So basically making like a choux pastry ring with an almond, a glaze with some slithered almonds
Jesus.
Filled with stone fruit and vanilla creme patissier.
Your kids will appreciate one day having a chef for a dad, I'm sure.
Mm.
Holy shit.
They're spoiled rotten. They don't know. Yeah.
Wow. All right, now, Ben.
Yes.
How do we manage you, friend? How do we get... how do we make sure you're okay and you're not going to go down a rabbit hole of, you know, seeing power surges in your sleep and stuff like that?
He becomes a dialer dad. Go and help others. Share your wisdom and knowledge, Wiggins. You could be the dialer dad.
You're not
the solar expert.
I've never got advice from you and felt like you're being passive aggressive. Ellis is right. You should be. Should be the dialer dad.
But also, like, yes, it'd be reassuring to have a dialer dad that you can ring and come. But wouldn't it even be more reassuring to have a dialer dad that brings the wife and the wife stands there pointing out what the dialer dad's doing wrong?
That was going to be my concern. Is that how can you have do it again, Ben, as your dialer dad?
Yeah,
because it's a package, bro. Wife comes along.
Yeah, okay.
But then do you need another dialer dad for the dialer dad with the wife sitting there?
Well, I mean, that's you know, subcontracting.
That's what we're doing.
Subcontracting. Yeah. Well, you know, Christmas time's a big time for the Dad Pants podcast. We love to talk about our Christmases and all the dad-related paraphernalia that comes with that. So, fellas, how were your Christmases this year?
I'm going to hop in first because having 16 and 13-year-old children, I don't really have any stories.
No.
It was all very pleasant. They all were self-contained with their cousins. The cousins are all older.
Yeah.
That side of it was pretty friggin' delightful.
Mm.
My wife's family got drunk on Christmas, like they always do.
Yeah.
The one moment is when Justine has both sets of her parents. So her mum and stepdad host and her dad and stepmom come along. Well, when her dad and stepmom get drunk, everyone wants them to leave. And when they, soon as they say, we might call a cab, one person grabs the phone and calls the cab for them immediately.
And because otherwise
they'll faff around forever.
Yeah.
And then another member of the family goes and stands on the front veranda looking down the street.
Now, nothing makes you feel more wanted.
So has Uber not changed any of this?
No, they don't use... No, they're not really where they are. There's not much Uber coverage. So okay. So when the dad's saying, oh, well, it's Christmas Day, a taxi might take ages, we might as well have another drink. And they're like, no, they said they'd be here in 5 minutes. Yeah. And then someone's on the veranda going, it's coming up the street.
Yeah. And they got, you know...
It's coming up the street.
They're setting off flares just in case the taxi driver doesn't know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't really...
He's calling the horses at Randwick and he's coming up the street. He's moving up around.
Here's your bag. Here's your wallet. Yeah. Here's your thing. No, here's your drinks. Present. See you later.
No more drinks is out the back door.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, that's all. That was great. That was my highlight of my Christmas, was watching that unfold.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. What about you, Rich?
Well, the low light of my Christmas was the thermostat of my oven going 2 weeks before. Yeah, that was not ideal. It was problematic. I managed to get the turkey on the barbie. That was fine. But then had to sit there basically with had the electronic thermometer stuck in the oven. So just sitting there being a manual thermostat on the oven, just trying to get through that. So, but it was probably the reason we saved so much money in energy for that last quarter because we had no oven. So there we go. Swings and roundabouts.
Now listen, but,
Christmas was good. Yeah.
Don't fuck about. You know what we want to hear.
Ham bags.
How many hams? And how were they done?
It was three hams this year.
I'm just sorry, just interlude. Two. This is definitely the only part of the podcast my wife is going to listen to. She always asks me too.
And this may be something that some of our other listeners may wish to leverage. We have a new agreement in the household that Christmas decorations and hams come in simultaneously. So if you want decorations up, that means that hams come in the fridge.
Oh, right. And I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was if you're going to start eating ham, then we have to put our decorations.
Well, this is the thing. It goes
this
by
the family's
it
got their decorations up in July. Christmas in July.
This will be the eventuality. Yes. So when
does that start? When?
Well, it was very early this year. It was mid-November, I think we ended up with.
Nice.
When the cricket started.
Black Friday.
That's
exactly right. So, that was like, it's kismet. So we're getting some, the ham, the decorations, the cricket all coming in together once. Yeah. So just three hams this year and they're all quite pleasant. I did bake one this year because of the
oven
lack of
issue.
Oven. I could have done on the barbie, but we only had
Weber?
One. Yeah, well, we've got, as I say, I've got a queue and I've got a smoker, but I was too busy smoking my Devon. So, you know, there's only so much you can fit on the smoker at any one time.
Make your own jokes at home, I suppose.
Yeah.
But other than that, was lovely. We were very quiet. It was we didn't go anywhere, which was... very, very nice. And it was just
no traveling.
We didn't, like, literally didn't.
You didn't have to TARDIS your car up to get anywhere.
Yeah.
No, it was nice. It was very nice. So.
All right. Okay. Now, which Ben did we have this Christmas?
Mm.
Grinchy Poo or Sensible Ben?
There was a little bit of half and half. I think I...
Can we get your wife in here and ask her the same question?
Absolutely, you may. I can get it for you if you want. She was at the window before doing a dance. And I threatened to put the camera on her and she ran away. Look, Christmas was lovely, but what has now happened is that obviously with, very similar to Matthew, with a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old in the house, their Christmas is a little different, but we still have a nearly 9-year-old in the house that is so bought into Christmas. Like, she's as bought into Christmas as I am to energy prices. So
yeah, but you get 4 Christmases a year when the bill comes. When the quarterly statement comes.
Monthly, Stu.
Oh, monthly.
Is she selling Christmas back to Santa?
Hopefully one day.
I'm going to feed my presents back into the tariff.
But of course, as with the Ellis household, when the decorations come in, the ham comes in.
Yeah, that's right.
When the decorations come in to the Wiggins household, the elf arrives.
The elf.
Yes, the elf on the shelf, right?
Now, this is the first year.
Look how soft his voice is getting.
Well, he doesn't want her to hear. Right. She's in the room beside everyone. Lean in.
She started to question and seriously question the elf legitimacy.
Oh, sorry. I thought when your voice was going soft, you didn't want your wife to come in and start getting angry at you.
Talk better.
Say it again.
And so this year, look, I was, of course, Grinchy Poo. I was like, let's fucking tell her. She asked a great question. Let's give her the truth. Yes. What are we doing? And then just like, no, she loves it too much. And I'm like, you love it too much.
Yes.
This is what the issue is.
I was going to say.
But the thing that saved, and I'd say saved in air quotes, the elf was that Lindsay and I went away for a night. I went to a crowded house early in December down in Sydney, and we got halves to do the elf overnight. So Rose was asking questions. I was like, I have kids at school, blah, 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 blah. But then she would answer her own questions with, but you guys weren't even home and the elf moved, so she must be real. And it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
My heart sank, Linz's heart soared, and we'll go again next Christmas.
The problem is, though, Harvey, you know, positioned the elf so it had its head up its own date.
Is it cat had a knife? And said, I'll cut you if you give me any shit.
Yeah. That's right. It was keep your questions to yourself.
Rose when she woke up.
Yeah. This is the thing I found, especially with Violet when she was around that age, was she would ask those questions and then almost withdraw them. Like, you could see that's obviously what she's like, though, where she would like ask the question and then be like, I don't actually want the answer to
that. Yeah, she wants to show you
what I suspect it is. That's boring. Like, I don't want that. Yeah. So sometimes she would ask a question and I would say, do you really want me to answer that? And then she'd say, nah.
Yeah.
And then we'd go again another year.
Yeah. We don't want the magic to stop, but I need you to know that I'm smart enough to know what's going on here.
So how did you negotiate that then with the younger sibling than Matthew? Because that's where we're at the same point. So Tilly and Rose are about the same age. And so, but we've got the younger coming through as well. This is the difference. Like, we can't.
I think the older one, as we go said with Harvey, I think the older ones recognize, oh, this is actually fun. Like, the joy they get out of it. She would encourage it. You know, and sometimes they, which I'm sure Wiggo's kids do the same thing too, when they unwrap a present and they turn around to you and say, thank you. And you're like, nope.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. But yeah, they just, that happened a lot. But Violet was always very keen to be like, what about this, Noel? We've got to do this. We've got to do that.
Yeah.
And still encourage her, I think, because she didn't want that to, didn't, you know, because it'd be very easy to be like, you know what?
Everyone gets swept along with it, right? Like, everyone gets swept along with it in that if Rose gets a chocolate, because the elf bought her a chocolate, there's a fucking chocolate there for everyone. So it's like, if we, like the golden goose, motherfucker.
Well, it's it all stops. This all stops. Right. It all goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but if that stops, they might start seriously looking at a parent shelf invasion.
I was looking at the parent shelf I wanted to send you guys a photo because it is fucking heaving in there at the moment.
Wow.
Jesus.
If there's time at the end, you can tell us what's on there. Yeah. I'm a bit wary about asking now when there's other things to... But how about... But it kind of reminds me, like, your kids are still buying into it with Rosie, though, right? Like, it reminds me of that story you were telling about the time that your cousin dressed up as Santa and came down the street and your sister, younger sister, was losing her mind.
Yes.
Thinking that Santa was coming down to see her.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really about whether those older ones can understand the importance of keeping it all going. And I'm including you in that, Wigo.
Oh, look.
They've got a generous spirit and heart.
I want you to be doing this elf for the next 10 years, friend.
Yeah,
I get my frustrations out with my wife. I don't do any of this stuff in front of Rose. Right, none of this comes out.
Do you actually do anything with the elf, Wiggins? Do you actually do anything with the elf? Because we've stolen quite a lot of your. I was going to say, Lindsay does it all, doesn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like we in our household, we actually have to share. We've got three of the fuckers,
and
we have a night each. And every night, we're like,
We go. Here's my question.
Yeah, exactly. Why is there three?
He's putting them in togas and having triumvirates in the Roman Senate.
Yeah. Jesus. We go, here's my question. Talk about the whole thing.
Talk about him sticking his head up his own date.
If Linz is doing it all, we go, why do you want to shut it down? Like, if she's doing it all.
Yep. But that then. Okay. All right. So, absolutely fair question. Very fair question. I get the backwash from her frustration. She does all this research and goes and buys props and does, like, she puts in a lot of effort into this, right? I couldn't give two shits. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
If you want me to do it, you're going to have to ask me to do it again. So she doesn't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
So she does it all herself. I will play bodyguard. Yeah.
So it's a little bit, I'll play. A little bit passag.
A little bit.
So,
Then what's the problem? She's doing it. Does she, like, don't you just let her do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely I do. But
so the issue is?
The issue is that it gets done at 11 o'clock at night when she wants to be in bed at 10 because none of us have put the kids to bed early enough for that to happen.
Yeah, but
so
again.
So it eats into the night so that it eats into the next day so that it becomes this fucking, monotonous thing. And I'm just saying that it can get, it gets frustrating.
But you seem frustrated for her.
I am frustrated for her because she's
frustrated. You don't have to be. But you don't have to be frustrated for her. That's what I mean. Try that. Just be not being frustrated for her.
But there's...
That's her. That's her stuff.
Hmm. Hmm.
That'd be like her getting frustrated along with you about the cricket, right? If you're getting frustrated about the cricket or sport, and then she decide, I'm going to be frustrated because you're frustrated, you'd be like, why do you care?
Yeah.
There's a lot of creating your own worlds and then not being satisfied with them in your house.
Ooh, look at that.
Your power. You've created this ultimate dataverse where you're able to watch everything that happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's upsetting you. She's created this.
The Omnidad.
Magical elf universe that has to happen every year. And I imagine
Buckland, we're going to have this same conversation in a few minutes when we talk about taking your family overseas.
Oh wow!
But carry on.
Well, I imagine that, like, obviously, it's obvious that you could tap Lynn's on the shoulder and go, "Hey, you don't need to do this.
Okay.
The cops aren't going to come if you stop."
Which I have done. We've had that discussion, right? So it's hers. It's fine.
But she's built it.
Absolutely fine. But it's
I imagine that there's pressure to keep the standard rising and rising and rising.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's I suppose that's where the pressure comes from, right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's an art form, I suppose.
What you're doing, we go, is you're frustrated because you know that could all just stop and that would be fine.
Yes.
And then she wouldn't be frustrated anymore. You are just annoyed that she's frustrated near you.
That's
you
probably...
You just have to let her be... Yeah. You just have to let... I understand. You just have to let her be frustrated near you. Believe me, you're talking to someone who, you know, 5 years ago, my wife said... I'm not frustrated at you. I'm frustrated at the situation. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, and she was like, did you think I was frustrated at you because you're around? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, since when? And I was like, forever?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, that's dumb.
Well, can you
and
turn?
And I was like, ah.
Can you turn those hectic eyes on the situation rather than me then?
And that's what I found. The same thing where you're like, I am frustrated at your... Because you don't have to be frustrated. Mm. Yeah, let her be frustrated.
Well, frustrated might be a great point to start talking about travel dads.
Travel dad. I'm telling you, that was very well put what you said before, Buckland. I was just like, we're talking about Wiggins. Oh, no, we're not. God damn it. Fucking... God damn it.
Well... Do what I do. Set no standards for yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
You know.
That is, yeah. That's right.
All right. Who wants to talk travel dad adventures first? Rich, you went to Vietnam. Matt, you went to Japan since we've last spoken.
Mm.
Yeah, I think mine will be pretty quick. Basically, we had a good time. It was pretty hectic. We had about 20-odd people come to Tony's birthday dinner in Hoi An, so trying to juggle and negotiate between friends and family and friendly family and not quite so friendly friends and everything else was kind of interesting.
Did any kids tip over tables or?
Well, we basically, there was a counter. We basically decided we could have employed a Vietnamese person to follow us around with a clicker and see how many times the words George was yelled during the entire time of the excursion. If it was fed back into the grid, we would have been in the super, super plus positives because it was like it would have averaged out at least 500 times a day between everyone in the group. And I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
Jesus.
Like he was just on some and he kind of hasn't come down since. He's on some serious form at the moment. So leading up to, he's been quite good and really good in his first year of school. And so I think that a lot of that excess energy he had kind of coming out of preschool and stuff, and he was starting to kind of show signs of maturing. And ever since Vietnam, he's just turned into a raving lunatic. And he was...
that's just overload of intensity.
Well, he was... Oh, man, like, you know, and he dealt with it so well. Like, you know, he, like Hanoi, he's very artistic. So, you know, he gets a bit freaked out by loud noises and stuff like that sometimes. But, you know, Hanoi, awesome. Walked down the street and was like, people were high-fiving him. Old ladies were coming up and getting photos. Because, like, you know, he's this little blonde boy, but asking how old he was, like thinking he was like 10 or 11. And like, nah, he's six.
Yeah,
and they're like, no. It's like, fucking hell, he was as tall as half the people there. It was nuts.
Sometimes when you share photos with the two kids in there, I feel like saying, maybe make him like do some forced perspective work and make him stand further back in the shot, because it just doesn't make sense.
No.
It really doesn't.
And I'll tell you what's going to be irritating whenever you go to like a restaurant or something, kids under 12 eat free. When he's 12, he's going to look bloody 20.
Yeah, all that. travel with a 10-year-old that looks 14, 15 is going to be hard.
Yeah. So it was really good. I had a good time. And the no fucking around the airport rule is definitely something which George needs to learn.
How did you deal with that?
And this, I think this has been my big problem, is just trying to I think I've gotten over the fact that I don't care about what other people think. He's just really annoying me now. And so trying to get, like, not look like a psychopath by screaming at him in front of people. So I've started the low growl, like the, oi, come here.
Oh, really?
In a low voice. And now he knows that that's, oh, shit, I'm in trouble now.
Yeah.
Because, like, rather than the, George, stop it, which he's kind of had so much of, it's like, you here. And he comes over now and you just do the, stop doing what you're doing.
He knows it's the grab and mutter that we've talked about.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah, the grab and mutter. So that's definitely the go-to at the airport.
Also a nice pub.
We had a two-hour window of transit and it was with the same airline, so our bags got transferred, but we literally made the plane by, like, 5 minutes within the same airport, like just going through from domestic to international in Saigon. So anyone doing that little transfer, give yourself plenty of time, especially if you're swapping airlines.
That's 2 hours.
Little clue, but awesome for kids. Kids, awesome. Like, really, really good. Highly recommend as a family destination. No dramas with anything else. We had a few little food dramas with peanuts here and there, just trying to make sure that when they were least expected, on top of, like, strawberry ice creams and, you know, people thinking they were doing something nice, and then, wow, there's peanuts on that. But, yeah, it was a really good trip, really good fun, but just, fuck, six-year-olds just cannot contain himself.
This might be a silly question, but was RDT respected? I suppose if you're having trouble with keeping George under control, RDT goes out the window, right?
Look, to be honest, we overshot going down. Like, when we were talking about the, because we drove down to Melbourne before the flight, and it was, and the plan was, is that we were going to go a bit early, make sure we gave ourselves plenty of time, but then we bought lounge access so that we could go in and spend some time in the lounge. Of course, the flaw in our plan being that Vietnam Airlines is one of the airlines which is a non-regular carrier, so their gates only open for specific flights and only 2 hours before the specific flight. So we were there at six. Our flight wasn't until midnight, and we were like, we've paid for this lounge access. But then we had 3.5 hours of sitting around the airport waiting for the gate to actually open to get through there anyway. By the time it opened and we got through, and you still have to pass customs and security on the other side of dropping your bags off and everything, we had, like, you know, 45 minutes in a very subpar lounge. So that was dad lesson learnt there. Don't do that. But real dad time was pretty good. Otherwise, we had one minor hiccup in Hanoi, where our driver was arrested from our car while we were waiting to go to the airport.
Okay.
Like, he was standing outside having a smoke, and suddenly cops just drag him off, and we're just sitting in the car going, and then the guy, luckily the people at our hotel were really good, and the guy ran out of our hotel and called up another company and had another car waiting for us around the corner within, like, 15 minutes, so...
Yeah. We assume he wasn't arrested for smoking.
No, I don't think it was for smoking. Okay. Quite possibly just for leaving the car parked there, though. Because, it was some pretty weird things going on there.
But, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Matt?
I real dad time was adhered to because I'd worded them up. Again, having Wigo go to Bali a few months in advance was really helpful to be like, this is errors that were made and these are the errors we're not going to make. You don't know how many jokes we made about getting put in wheelchairs and wheeled around the airport. It's great. It makes me so happy. We go, your family is now part of our family forever. Of just, what did he wear? Because it was hot when we landed in Japan, and when we were leaving Japan, what was he wearing, you reckon? Oh, well, what if we put on a jumper and tracksuit pants and a big coat and put on everyone's jumper? Violet was like, what if we take a photo, I put on everyone's jumper and everyone would take find a wheelchair, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, there was a lot of that.
We were more focused on the fight in the restaurant after that episode. So
couldn't.
Yeah, a few jokes with my kids about paint my chicken coop, make me, and then launching across the table. You know, in the restaurant.
Yeah, there was a lot of, there's a lot of questions. When your kids catch up with mine again, there'll be some a lot of questions about those two stories in particular. They want to know, what do you mean anyway? So, oh dear. Yeah. They've got two cousins. Like, they've got cousins who would definitely do the same thing. They would just launch into each other. So there's a lot of that. The best part, though, was like we go wording me up about the long-term parking. This is even before the flights, is wording me up about the long-term parking. And then I was telling the kids, I've looked it up and still very confusing. I'm still not quite sure. Put it in the GPS. It got confused on the way there. So on the way there, we did the exact same thing that Wigo did. The exact same thing, made the exact same wrong turn. And you know what? If I had a chance to do it again, I'd probably make the same mistake. It's counterintuitive. It says go to arrivals, but you're not going to arrivals, you're going to departure. Like, it's all out of whack. And but as soon as I was like, oh, we're on the wrong turn, the kids started freaking out because I'd word them up so much about real dad time. And so I had to say to them, like, you don't understand. Real dad time means this fuck up is built in. I'm not let's get to the airport 3.5 hours early. No. I just know we'll have enough time. So I just said, look, it's all catered for, so don't worry about it. And then that was all fine. Even like there was a line to get checked, all of the stuff like that. I was like, we've got plenty of time, don't worry about it.
I hope everyone understands that by now. It's not about getting there as early as possible. It's about we have budgeted for fuck-ups.
Yes. Budgeted time, exactly. So the amount of times they're like, oh, this is a big line and we'll be okay. And I'm like, we've got 2.5 hours. It's fine. We've got, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Everything's fine. Sitting in the lounge like an hour, just having a coffee an hour before. Like, it's all good. This is why we budgeted for that time. But it was just awesome to be like, bloody hell, I've gone through it. Wigo's taught me through it. I've even looked it on Google Maps. No, I've still made the wrong. And then, even GPS, it was like, turn left, use this exit. And then you're in the exit. You go, nope, not that exit, the next exit. And you're like, great.
It feels deliberate, GPS. Right?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so...
Is this to keep dads cowed? You don't want dads getting too cocky in the airport.
Too many dads arriving early at the airport. It's just like a menagerie of dads hanging around the long term.
What they want you to do is go to the arrivals and drop everyone off and then go to long term parking.
Ah.
So, but then that, you're like, why would I want to do that? I just want everyone to be in the same place.
That's not efficient.
So you need your dial-a-dad GPS.
Yeah, you need a dial-a-dad GPS to be like, don't listen. Turn your other GPS on.
Can I just ask a question, just in regards to what the airport want us to do, which is drop off everyone at arrivals and then go around by yourself?
Yeah. Well, they just want everyone to do that. Absolutely.
Now, whose family would agree to be dropped off?
No, none.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah, my kids were like, no. I go, oh, no. Yeah, like, we're not doing that. You'd be like, oh, sitting charge. There waiting.
You're in charge of all of this. Don't leave us
real
alone.
Real dad time.
Yeah.
What happens to time if dad's not here?
That's right. Who's there?
It's FD time.
Father time.
Father time. That's right. Father time. Well done, everyone. It's been sitting there all this time.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. We all think dialer dad's a great idea, though, right?
Absolutely.
So, but. When is it a level too much where the dad shame kicks in? Because you could call the dialer dad who'll be standing on the road just outside the airport, and then you pull up, you hop out of the driver's seat, run around to the back seat, he jumps in and does the long-term parking for you.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, nah.
I think that's... Would you be able to cop that, really?
He drops you off.
That's like cuck dad.
You've hit the wrong category.
Oh no, I looked it up. Yeah. You told me to turn safe search off. This is what happens. You said it earlier. Oh no.
Only for the pussy door. Not for the dialer dad.
All right.
Hey, big fella, do you want to jump out of there and I'll park the caravan for you as well? Yeah. No, don't you worry. I'll get it in there. No worries at all. No worries at all. I'll slide that one straight in there for you, buddy.
No worries.
All right. Oh, you're welcome. So we dealt with the long-term parking.
Fine. Yeah, yeah. So, look, the whole trip was pretty delightful. Mm. I want to thank my sponsors on the trip, which was Vaseline and whatever the fucking underpants I was wearing that are chafe preventative.
They'll be Under Armour. Shout out.
Under Armour. They are just, yeah, excellent. Because it was hot and humid every day. So in, you know, low mid to low 30s every day and humid. And, yeah, remain chafe-free. There's a lot of chafe chat. I'm very happy with my parenting that, you know, my kids, especially my youngest, is happy to talk chafe. Like, how's your chafe? Any chafe? No, no chafe. Good. But, yeah, I mean, it all went fairly smoothly. I wanted to talk about this dad that was – we got on the flight and I booked window seats for the kids, which meant we weren't all sitting in a row of four. There was two and two. So we got on the first flight. And Justine immediately texted me and said, the man next to me is reading a newspaper. And I was like, what? And I look over it, and this dude's got like a big broadsheet newspaper.
Fucking hipster.
Just sitting next to her, reading the newspaper. I was like, wow, I didn't know people read newspapers. And then...
Only on planes.
This is all before, yeah, only on planes. This is all before the takeoff. And she said, she's sitting there, and Noelle elbowed her and went, pointed down. And the dude was wearing boat shoes with no socks and had taken his shoes off immediately in before they'd even taken off. So she was like, this is unbelievable. And she said, who's sitting next to you? And I had no one the whole flight. I had absolutely no one.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, plenty of elbow room around here.
Okay. Before you even mention the shoes, I was going to say, is there a bigger prick move than reading a broadsheet newspaper on an aeroplane? Where your elbows and arms have to be in the person's next to his face.
So strange.
And then the fucking takeies. Oh.
Gross. Yeah, gross. Gross man. Anyway, so it was all fairly straightforward. Yeah, it's as we talked about, like going flying to another country and hoping the Airbnb is real.
Yeah.
Was all that was on my mind, all the dad things I had to do once we landed, you know, get all the train sorted and all this stuff. And then. Yeah, walk to the Airbnb and hope the code that we'd been sent that day. And it was all fine. Once that door opened, I was like, fucking awesome.
What if it doesn't open next time, though?
Well, no, it's fine. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, this is great. But there was a moment where real dad time and what you were talking about earlier about creating worlds for yourself and then watching them crumble around you was what we learned, and I've talked to Wigo about this, is real dad time means you lose, or a lot of frustration comes from not from being late, but from being less early. Like that's where I got to, right. Where I was just like, hurry! Everyone needs to hurry up. What are we doing? Where, and also talking about like getting to hire a dad was when you get instructions that your dad gives you that to you make absolutely no sense because you've never done this before and you're in a different country.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what the hell is wrong with you people? You just take your two tickets, you're getting on the bullet train, you've got to take your two tickets, put it in the machine at once. And I was like basically shouting that at Violet. And she was like, that makes no sense. And I was like, huh. I guess it would make no sense if you've never done it before. So there was a lot of that. Anyway, we had to catch a bullet train to Hiroshima. It was like the third day. And I was just like peaking. Like, hurry, what are you doing? They were just faffing around. They would do every little thing just to slow us down. But again, we had plenty of time. And then I went through, I showed them, do this. And then they still didn't understand. And so I was just losing it. And then they all came through and Justine just... casually, this is where I've married the right person, just brought me aside and just said, you need to calm down. You are going to have a stroke. Yeah. This is meant to be fun.
Yeah.
I was like, huh.
Then put your fucking tickets in correctly.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
It's and so a we holiday got on the, and we'll faff yes, if we want to.
That's right. And we got time. So when we got on the Shinkansen, mercifully, we weren't all sitting together. And I just got to sit there for 40 minutes and just decompress and just play her, like her mantra over and over in my head and be like, yep, she's right.
I wonder whether it's really about time at all.
No, it's control.
Mm. It's but perhaps a little more specifically, I don't understand... why you're faffing and what it is that you're faffing with or why you need to do it.
It's the efficiency thing, right? Like, can you just be efficient?
I don't need to do it. So I don't know why you need to do it, and therefore that's upset.
Well, I know, but I was getting like to a point where I was like, you are annoying me by the way you are wheeling your suitcase up the escalator. Like, you don't haven't worked that out. Like, why don't you know? Like, this is your first time in a different country wheeling a thing, a big bag onto an escalator. That was annoying. And I was like, all right, you've got to just stop being annoyed at every inefficiency that they're doing.
Yes.
Because it doesn't, none of it matters. You're in a different, look to your left and be like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in Japan having a good time. So that was very useful that happened early. What made it even better was, you know, it was still pretty tense around my family after they'd seen me have a little meltdown about them being stupid. And we got on the tram from the train station to go to the Hiroshima, you know, the A-bomb site, which is going to be a heavy day. They're all fuming at me. And then a dude in front of us faints, and like a friggin' movie, I jumped up and caught him in my arms and like helped him sit down in the seat I was just sitting in. And everyone was just like, oh, like, well done. And then my kids were just like, you're a hero. And I was like, wow, what a turnaround. Paid that man. I said,
he just turns and gives you a wink and like,
I said to Jazz, that was the best $5,000 I've ever spent. Yeah, dial an international dad. I've got an emergency.
Yeah.
They've seen me. They've seen my frailty.
All right, I'm going to faint and you're going to catch me.
You're going to catch me.
Fuck yeah.
One, two, three. Yeah, crazy. So, yeah, that was like a big turnaround. And then it was all, that's all they wanted to talk about for ages. And oh, phew, that got over that quickly.
Yeah. So remember the time I caught that dude?
Yeah. You're doing it again. No. Any more people need to faint?
Incredible.
So, that was very helpful that happened early. So there weren't any more issues with that, because every time I just kept replaying Justine's words in my head, like, don't fuck it up by being angry at everyone all the time for being inefficient. Because, the only time was on the very last day when we had to go from where we were in Osaka to the airport. Was I for some reason I thought, of course, I better look up the train to the airport, see if there's anything weird. And just this one note that someone had written on this article about how to get to it is like, every now and then the train splits in half and the first four carriages go to the airport and the back four carriages don't. They go somewhere else. And I was like, okay. So then we get to the platform and I'm like, I don't know where the front or the back of the train is. I don't know which way the train is coming from.
Two of us down there. See you in Australia.
Because on the platform...
Two of us might make it.
On the
I like those odds.
On the platform, it says all the carriage numbers, right, are always on the platform, so you know which carriage to get on. Well, on the platform it says carriage 1 or carriage 8. So anyway, I was just like, they were like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know if this is the train. They made an announcement just as like they're making the announcement. Just be aware, then another train comes hurtling past. Like, it was like a movie, like can't hear. So I'm like, well, let's go to the middle. We'll go to the middle. And so we're running through everyone. So we get on the train and then we all right, we're on carriage 4. We're on the very end. Okay. Phew. And then Jazz was like, what's the big deal? Like, if we got on the back, we could have just walked through. And I was like, yeah, that's true. And then there was an announcement. You do not walk through the train. You aren't allowed to walk through the train. Like, they're literally going to split. So then at the next carriage, all the other poor bastards who didn't know that had to run and hope the train didn't leave before they'd gone
from
the back of the carriage. Run up. Oh, madness. So that was it. That was the only stress of, like, that really had nothing to do with dad planning. But, like, Jesus, make that. It's a very convenient country, but that was one moment where we were like, why make it more confusing than it needs to be? That's mad. Yeah. But then we figured, I think at that certain train station, people must just sit and watch the tourist leg it from the back of the train to the front of the train. Be pretty entertaining. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like, apart from all that, everything went well. Kids were great. Really, really, they love it. They want to go back. We caught up with people. This is the other thing too, was catching up with people who live over there, and then they planned everything for 3 days, And then when they fucked up, like we were going to go to the baseball, and then on the way there, they were like, oh, it's sold out. Like we
Someone
were like, cool.
Fault.
Yeah, we were like, whatever.
Perfect.
Like, just like no one cared if things went wrong. It was all that stuff of like, I've got everything has to work. It doesn't have to work. No. Be fine.
They would have cared if you made the plan, so.
No, they wouldn't. That's the thing. They would have been like, whatever, you made the plan. That was what Violet actually said to me, was like, yeah, but you made all the plans. We didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. Fucking hell. So dumb.
Well.
So, so dumb.
I'll tell you what I like. I like the evolution of this podcast. Well, as it goes on, we all seem to become a lot more self-aware, I think.
Mm.
And I think we all become very aware of diagnosing our anxiety trigger points, except in the moment, which is when you're there.
Absolutely.
But you know, we haven't talked for a while, so I've just taken to messaging you guys when there's real dad time anxiety to be had. And and here are the great questions that Rich gave me when I said I'm having an RDT anxiety moment. Talk me down. Ben very helpfully said, "Stop it, stop that anxiety right now." That was great. But here's Rich's questions. Number one, where have you got to be? Number two, is it important? Number three, if one is a stationary object and if number two is no, then fuck it, you're fine. So just remember that. Anytime you have real dad time, they're the instructions to follow. Where you got to be, is it important? Nine times out of ten, the answer is going to be nowhere special and no. You know?
Yeah. And the object is stationary.
Stationary object is
it's not going anywhere.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stationary object. That's the most important.
Yep.
Non-stationary. Feel free to stress.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yell louder.
Yeah.
All right. I think we should go because that's a big bumper wrap of catching up. So thank you, dads.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk again.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you, Buckland.
Love you. Lovely.
Yeah, thank you, Buckland, for getting this in the gear.
Another time. All right.
Dial dad.
Dial dad.
Yeah. Patent pending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.